With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs out of men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we Dalton Castling. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snarl hoops and heels. It's D-Rod's retirement, give me the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag team it like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a lot of coke. Other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Rich and Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts in the scene, but Rich and Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Titus. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we got a big episode. We had the, as we call it here in New York, the Wrestle Kingdom Miracle, where a snowstorm that dropped on Thursday allowed all hardcore, I guess, right? I'd say hardcore wrestling fans to stay in, who are teachers, not go to work, and instead watch Wrestle Kingdom. Now, over under, or what do you think the percentage is of people who found out they had off, but then still fell asleep and didn't watch it live anyway?
100% you. I watched from like 2 until like 5:30-ish, like Evelyn Sonata 1, and I was like, all right, I'm going to fall asleep if I don't just go to sleep. So let me pause this, and I'll finish it when I wake up, and that's what I did.
Yeah,
it's a 5-hour show, you know? Like it's impossible.
Terrible error of not taking a nap. I then also watched some True Confessions of some spy movie with Kevin James and the wife, and that went late, so I really ruined my... I mean, we finished the movie at 1 o'clock or so, and I was like, I can't function right now. But I did wake up bright and early. I left my alarms on, and I was very excited to get started with it. I won't lie. I thought so. Last year, I unfortunately read spoilers and then tried to watch the event, which just didn't really do it for me.
Correct.
This year,
just terrible.
I avoided spoilers, and I won't lie. Like I mean, I went quickly through some of the matches. So, like, I didn't watch the entire
Rumble.
Some
of, yes.
You know, I wasn't really super into the Gauntlet.
I was awake at 2 in the morning. Nope. I didn't really care about the Gauntlet either.
You know, so I was doing stuff like that. Like, I would, you know, go... Obviously, I'd watch, like, the beginning of the entrance and then be like, okay, I'm cool. And then, like, go to the match. You know, it's like stuff like that.
A little bit. Yeah.
So it made the 6.5 hours a lot more digestible.
Correct.
And I'm glad I didn't watch that live.
I mean, for the most part, from until Evil and Sonata, like, I didn't really not care about much. You know, most everything there was pretty solid. And then after that, it was the six man and whatever else that, like, I was like, all right, I'll skip a little bit of this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know everything about the guys there completely. I know that the guy who won the Rumble had come back from, he was diagnosed with cancer or something.
Like, yeah, that was, I don't know who that is either. That was just a feel good story moment. Exactly what it doesn't mean anything, the Rumble, so you know, whatever.
What did you think about
the Japanese crowd loves, as we saw on New Year's Dash 2, loves cheeseburger. I'm just like hearing cheeseburger. It's amazing.
It's really cool, actually. I actually thought he was gonna win, and I was confused that he didn't until I saw, like, I didn't know this guy, but when I read more about him afterwards, I was like, oh, okay, all right. So him winning is, like I said, I would, if they did it on commentary.
That was the pre-show or whatever. So.
Yeah. Did you listen to commentary in English or Japanese?
Yeah, clearly. No, yeah. Okay. I listened to it in Japanese, knowing everything. Duh.
Well, listen, there has been some hot takes on Twitter where someone was like, the guy David Bixenspan. Who was like on the Gawk? He's like was involved in the Gawk or Hulk Hogan stuff, covering it. He broke the Evolve stuff this summer. He goes that if you're really a fan of New Japan, like you're watching it, and you're not watching the English commentary, or you're not listening to the English commentary, you know. And basically, it was like, he said something. Oh, you know what? My apologies. He said the opposite. He said that if you say you watch New Japan in Japanese, that you're lying. And it was like during the show, and he was like, if you're watching it right now and you're in Japanese isn't your first language, like you're just basically being a poser and saying it's cooler when it's not.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I mean, oh, like, no, if you I'm don't so hardcore. Understand
what's going on and understand the stories that they're telling, then what the hell? You know what I mean?
Like, the only thing that I can say about that, I mean, I actually agree with that, but like with soccer. And I don't, you know, I'm tainted, so I don't know.
No. Soccer, no. It's very different.
Okay. So I just wanted to know, because I know Spanish, so even if I didn't understand it at all, like every part of it, first.
It's the same thing for me, not knowing Spanish, as watching CMLL and just being like, okay, there's no point for me to listen to the commentary because what the hell am I, all I'm going to understand is like when the guy's voice gets higher or when it gets serious, you know, and like, yeah, okay, that's cool. But if I don't know who these guys are and why they're fighting, then what the hell is the point?
But for soccer, it's different.
Because it's easier.
Okay. Like, okay. Because you know the players. It's easier and stuff.
There's no drama. There's no backstory why Brazil is playing Germany. You know what I mean? You just know teams are good and players are good, and that's that.
But, if you guys remember last week, Germany attacked Brazil in the back dressing room to set up this match.
Exactly. Thomas Mueller kicked the soccer ball at Neymar's face. And, like, it's just, you know, so that doesn't exist there. So, you know, that there's no story to tell. So that makes a huge difference. And Kevin Kelly and, you know, Callis to an extent, but they do a good job of telling that story and giving you information as to who these guys are and where they're training. And like, if I'm watching Jay White versus Tanahashi or Jay White the next night versus Kitamura, right, I believe.
Yeah.
And he puts him in the chokehold and they're like, oh, that's the Nagata lock. And he probably learned that while he was in the dojo. And that kind of stuff, you don't know if you're watching it in Japanese. So, you know, that stuff goes a long way.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I don't just say this because I actually believe the commentary is very important. You know, one of the things that actually, when I'm at the shows, there's almost a part of me that wishes it was over the loudspeaker.
That's why when they had those earpieces, it was the greatest.
I should bring that back.
Listen to the commentary. I don't understand why it ever went away. I mean, it was great.
They can easily have an app.
It makes no sense. Maybe that's why it went away, like put on the network. I don't know.
Well, anyway. All right, so you want to go through this, look at the matches a little closer?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll start off, obviously. We talked about the Rumble already. Then we had the Robangi 3K defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag titles against the Young Bucks, the previously six-time holders of the belts. This was a really different type of match than I really can remember seeing the Young Bucks work. I mean, I felt like it was less Young Bucks-y, I guess I'll say, than other matches.
But that's because you haven't watched them in New Japan recently when they're just having straight-up two-on-twos. The last couple of matches that they've had, like, I remember seeing, like, on the show or to you privately, like, this was awesome because it was completely different. They slowed it down. They won with a sharpshooter. They worked over the body part. And, like, the whole match, and the announcer sold it. Like, yeah, look, people say the Young Bucks can't do this stuff. Look what they're doing, and they're taking apart Rocky and Trent. Like, Rocky, when they fought Roppongi Vice, they decimated Rocky, power bombs on the apron, all that on the ramp, and just, like, left him laying and took apart Trent the whole match. And then, like, Rocky clawed back. They took him. It was great. And so this was more of the same. Like, when they're taking on that, like, aggressive, like, veteran-ish, you know, like, yeah, we don't need to do all that stuff. We're going to keep it serious. We're going to beat you. And it's a lot of fun to watch. I believe I predicted this last week. It's WrestleMania. It's the Bucks. Well, you know, it's Wrestle Kingdom. It's the Bucks. It just made sense. And it gives Roppongi 3K a hiccup. You know, they came back, they had all this success, now they have a legitimate contender and threat to their you know, to get their titles back and that sort of thing. So it makes for great storytelling, and I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, the many matches to come.
What do you think about them saying that they've now surpassed Jordan?
Well, yeah, last year they, you know, said they were going to be Jordan, and then this year, obviously, they surpassed it with 7. So, I mean, it's clearly very different. But on New Year's Dash, they said, like, they filmed something for Being the Elite where they hung their jerseys in the rafters. So, like, you know, that's great. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I really like the match. Like, I don't watch a lot of it. So, you know, for me, it was very different. And I thought that they did it spectacularly well. So, I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Nick looked like a beast at the end.
Right, Nick is really good, and you know, there are very short stretches, you know, when he shows, like, just how smooth and how good he really is. So it's fun to see when, you know, like, they take Matt out and all that stuff. So really good psychology, really good storytelling. Sho and Yo are really good, and it's fun to watch them in this role now after seeing them in Ring of Honor, like, as bland and useless as ever. So that's cool.
Wait, you don't think that tempura is flavorful?
No.
Sorry. I really enjoyed that one. All right, we'll just move along. What did you think about the 6-man title gauntlet match?
That was next.
That's what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I mean, I believe I watched, like, half watched it. You know, during the match, I was kind of like, oh, you know, this could be a moment for Trent where, you know, he has his spotlight. He wins the belts because they're pushing him as the heavyweight and all that. And then so it happened. It was cool. And then just typical New Japan, the next night on New Year's Dash, the Bullet Club, Tongas, whatever, won them back. So, whatever.
Do they, New Japan makes a lot of title switches?
Is that a real question?
I mean, I think they do, but I didn't want to say
you know,
it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you know that answer. Like, the junior titles, the even the heavyweight tag titles, especially the six-man, like, they switch all the time. So
okay. I just thought it was like, I started to be like, oh, that's weird. I feel like every time I watch, there's a title change. But then I didn't want to say it and, like, seem misinformed, so I just kind of kept it to myself.
It also is like, you really only watch, or, you know, whoever, really only watch the main show. So, like, on the main shows, yeah, they have title changes. You know, that's what they do. But, you know, I don't know.
Now, I mean, it's not just mine. I think a lot of people agree here. The next match, Kota Ibushi versus Cody, I thought was really good. Like, it was my favorite Cody match.
For sure, the best Cody match that I've seen. He picked up his level a little bit, and Ibushi is just really good. And they had a good story going into it and after it, as we'll get to. And, you know, that's what you want. Cody looked, you know, like a star, and that helped.
I mean, it was that Crossroads off the apron. I was like, he's not gonna do that. He's got a family. Like, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I'll just throw this in now because I don't want to forget it for later. I walked into work today, and a coworker actually stopped me and goes, "Hey, man, you know, there was this New Japan event." New Japan, this wrestling thing in Japan? I was like, you mean Wrestle Kingdom 12, right? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I saw these news things about it. He goes, and I saw this Kenny Ortega guy wrestle a 9-year-old. And I was like, oh, man, if you think that it's Kenny Omega, if you think that was crazy, you should watch Kota Ibushi wrestle a blow-up doll. And he's like, what? But I was just dying. No, this match is, I mean, Ibushi's great. And Cody, it was really my favorite Cody match. I thought it was just fantastic. And then by the end of the night, I won't lie, like, it still held up as one of my favorite matches of the night.
It was definitely good. And this is, you know, in recent weeks, I've been critical of Cody because I wanted to see this and more consistently. So this was a good start for what seems to be a nice little push or a nice little spot. For him in New Japan, and whatever happens with him in Ring of Honor, you know, he's been the champion. He's a made man there. So, you know, I think this is a good start for that.
Agreed. And then we had the IWGP Tag Team title match. Evil and Sonata took on the defending champions, KES.
Correct.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't super into this match. I guess I didn't think of Evil and Sonata as underdogs. I mean, they're smaller, but I didn't kind of get... the crowd gave me that feeling, and commentary did, but I didn't personally. Then that's just my, you know, my disconnection.
You didn't buy into it.
Yeah, I'm not with the product, you know, so I get that. So it was a good match. It wasn't a bad match. I just didn't stand out as my favorite on the night.
No, it was a solid match, and I think... you know, we knew or expected Sonata and Evil to get the win, and that's exactly what happened. So, you know, that was fine. I'm glad to see it, and that was that.
Then you had the Hair versus Hair Never Open Weight Title match, and Goto defending, taking on Minoru Suzuki, who really, I mean, we called it last week, but I really think that it's just because it needed to happen. Suzuki lost so that his hair got shaved. I didn't know in New Japan that they... Did you know that they shave their own heads? I feel like that takes the fun away.
Was that something that they do in New Japan? Or was that just Minoru Suzuki being the man?
I mean, just
I think that's what happened. I don't think that's something that is tradition. I think he was just like, yeah, okay, I lost. I'm going to take this like a man. I'll do it. Because that's the type of person he is. He's just a beast.
All right. It does make me sad that, you know, there might not be an official barber for New Japan.
Yeah, maybe there was, but he didn't. Could you imagine the barber attempting to cut his hair? That was the other thing from the six man gauntlet. I don't know if you saw, or maybe it might have been the next night. Fale kicked the ring announcer as he was introducing him, and then Tama Tonga took the mic and was like, "Oh," said it like with the stereotypical Japanese dialect, like "Battle Rock Fale." Like it was terrible. It was good.
Yeah, I think that was the next night, maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But I thought this was... I wasn't super into it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Nah, me either.
It was, a good match. I just don't know it enough.
Right. Suzuki is cool. I don't really care for Goto. So, like, Goto being in it, especially after... Like, last year, I bought into Goto winning the big one and you know, I listened to the story that he never had and all that stuff. So that was cool. But this year it was like, oh, well, after that, Goto lost the title and did nothing. So now why do I really care that he's back in the spot? You know, that's how I took it. And so Goto to me is just whatever. But, you know, we kind of knew it was coming. Suzuki looked fine with the bald head the next night. So it is what it is.
The never open weight titles or the never titles, I don't really.
Yeah, it's just like no weight limit, but like the never open weight is really just beast. Like it was Shibata, you know. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's kind of that's the Ishii and Shibata, Goto.
Where was he?
Suzuki who?
Ishii,
he was in the gauntlet. He won the six-man tag.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. Sorry. I don't know what... I'm blanking out for a second. I was expecting to see him in singles, and I just had a moment. The next match, I thought, was one of my other favorites, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title match. You had Mari Skrull defending against Kushida, Hiromu Takahashi, and Will Ospreay. I was surprised that Ospreay won.
I mean, yes and no.
I thought it was Takahashi's moment.
I agree, but I also enjoy the story of Ospreay not being able to beat Skrull and now finally getting that, right? So,
yeah. The thing is here, for me, Ospreay's supposed to be going to the WWN shows in April. I had the feeling that he wasn't going to be in New Japan a lot longer.
It doesn't have to be. Like, they have another show, like, on the 27th. He can lose the belt to Takahashi then, like, you know?
Oh, man, that's really hard for me to deal with. Like, I don't even understand how to go
I mean, about these that. Things just have, like, the title that matters is the world title. And, like, you know, like, that's the one that doesn't go anywhere out, obviously. We'll get to that. But every other title is... It just kind of moves around. You've seen the junior title move around. Like, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I still thought it was a great match. Takahashi's just ridiculous. Those consecutive sunset power bombs to the outside that deep into the match was just kind of absurd. He's super over, and I mean, he's got to have the title soon.
I don't disagree. It could easily happen soon. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see for that. They love Ospreay there, you know.
Yeah.
He's won the junior tournament. I can't remember what it's called. Best of the Super Juniors. He's won that. So, you know, he's over.
When I saw the purple hair and the matching tights, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, he's weird.
Yeah, but I thought he was going to win. I thought, whoa. Yeah. It's going far, man. You colored your hair the same color as your tights.
It could have been anyone in that match.
Fair. All right. Although I didn't think Kushida was going to win for some reason. That's just, didn't he just have it?
Yeah,
Marty won
but
it from
like,
Kushida, right?
No, Marty won it from Ospreay.
Ospreay, oh. All right, too many title switches. I know Kushida had it at one point, though, didn't he?
Kushida had it, I believe. Ospreay beat him, or maybe Takahashi beat him, and Ospreay beat him. It's, I don't know, it moves too much.
Jeez. All right. A title that didn't move, the IWGP IC title. Tanahashi defended successfully against Switchblade Jay White in a move that on the night, or when I watched it the next morning, I was pretty furious. I just thought, I didn't understand. I felt like he was coming back. Now, granted, I might have a little bit more vested interest in Mr. Jay White because of the excursion in Ring of Honor. So I guess I'm kind of almost always pull for ROH guys to go over at Wrestle Kingdom. But I really thought they were setting it up. I thought they made the wrong decision. Granted, I will say that knowing that in a few minutes when we discuss the next night, I may have gotten less angry.
I mean, this is one of the... He's the ace of New Japan. Like he's the man, you know. Like towards the end of his run as that, but it's him against the guy who this is his first match back after excursion. And yes, Jay White could have won, and yes, it would have made for a fine moment, but. Him having a great match, pushing Tanahashi to the limit and almost beating him does just enough. And as we saw the next night, that's kind of confirmed where he was in a huge spot. The crowd was going crazy for him. They loved everything he was doing. So, I think it worked out fine.
All right. And then we have probably my favorite match of the night, Jericho versus Kenny Omega. I mean, I knew last week when I picked Jericho to win that it was a stupid move in terms of actually getting the pick right. But man, he was obnoxious and fantastic.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fantastic. I mean, attacking the referee's son at ringside, I thought was ridiculous. And then, 10 minutes later, then asking him for a towel because he can't see. That was kind of ridiculous because of the cold spray. And apparently somebody commented that. Somebody commented, because of Skrull grabbing the powder, that apparently New Japan's first aid kit just consists of tape and cocaine because it was just so freaking weird. But this really had everything I liked. Jericho is 46 years old, man. He's competing at a super high level there. I thought this match was perfect for him. I mean, I love the call, you know, the lion salt. He does the walls of Jericho. He does the lions. Like, at this point, he's got so many different finishers that he can just kind of call back to that it's fun to watch. And I thought the match was the perfect length. They had me a couple of times during the match. I was pretty surprised by some of the kickouts. And Omega getting out of the submission holds, but you know, in the end, Omega should have won, and I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with everything you said there. The thing that I said to you as soon as I saw that press conference where Jericho was just cursing up a storm was that he is loving the freedom that he has being in Japan, and then. I read somewhere yesterday that kind of confirmed that yeah, he's probably going to be sticking around. Like, he's having a lot of fun. And you could just see it. Like, look at what he's doing. Like you said, he's beating up the young boys and referees selling at ringside. He's bringing out all his old moves. He's cursing. He's making people bleed. Like, all this stuff. You know, he's having these physical, you know, this brawl, this match with one of, if not the best wrestler in the world right now. Like, it's, you know, he's about to, as we saw the next night, he's going to feud with Naito. It's just, you know, why wouldn't he stick around for a little bit and do some things? And, you know, it's a lot of fun. And you could just see it.
Yeah, no, I actually... I'm actually excited, and I guess we have one more match, and then we'll discuss Jericho a little bit more going forward. And then you had the main event, Okada versus Naito. Man, I was really... All right, so the finishing stretch really got me. Like, I thought Naito had won it, then I thought Okada had won it. I will say the one thing that I don't like, it's probably arbitrary, but this whole wrist control thing kind of annoys me. I was listening to commentary. Like, they're both laying on the floor. They're, like, knocked out. Except Okada's got his wrist, is holding Naito's wrist. And it looks like so, okay, he's holding his wrist. And, like, he's got wrist control. And I'm like, yo, dude, it's just.
But, like, it's Okada. Like, when he has you with the wrist, then that means you're a step away from the Rainmaker and being pinned, you know, like, and there's plenty of times where he hits the Rainmaker, doesn't let go, or they, you know, they, it's a cool spot, in Okada's repertoire to me. It's something different, you know. Where do you ever, like, and that's probably why you're like, what the hell? Because you don't see it. But I think that because it makes so much sense for his devastating finisher that he uses, you know, it helps.
All right. Okay. I get it. I'm not going to be, like, ridiculous. I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
You know, it's just such a silly little thing that I'm just kind of... Because I feel like they oversell it. So that's the only thing.
But, like, if I have my hand wrapped around your wrist, where are you going? What can you do?
But when you're laying down...
Where are you going? You're not getting away from me.
All right. Fair. So anyway, okay. So we said this before the show, and someone's probably going to send us hate mail. You know what? Please do me a favor. If you disagree with anything, just send us hate mail. Like, I'd appreciate the mail. That'd be nice. If you want to send us hate mail, by the way, that's over at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us hate tweets. Running Wild LWS, or if you just want to send it to me directly, you can just do that at Rich_Laconi on Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you. But I thought the match went a little too long for my liking. It was just painfully slow in certain spots where I get it, they're not the super juniors, but Naito is so fast, and so was Okada, that it just...
Watched, like, the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels Iron Man? Like, go watch that.
I don't love
watch,
that.
Like, how painful.
Yo, I don't love it. I'm not going to...
But that, I get it. But I'm just saying, like, that's part of having these long physical battles. Like, they're going to be just sluggish, and where they're punching each other, or they're just going with clotheslines or back and forth. Or, you know, but when they have that finishing stretch where they're going 100 miles an hour and hitting these crazy spots and finishes and that sort of thing, and you're sucked in a little bit because of it being so slow and sluggish, and it's a grind, and the guy who wins that match earned that win, and that's why you buy into it, you know. Like, we're so programmed to like the quick WWE main events and matches and Raw and SmackDown and all that stuff, that I think when these matches happen, it's sometimes it can be a little like, oh, what the hell is going on? But once you watch, like, you know, this is probably my third or fourth year of watching these New Japan shows, and, like, it over time you really begin to appreciate it more, because it's something you're accustomed to. You know, you're expecting that long, drawn out physical battle between these guys. And really, every time you pretty much get it.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, I just will say, though, when I know it's an Ironman match, to me, it's weird, but like knowing that it has to go an hour makes me feel different than watching a match that I don't think has to go an hour.
Right. But it going an hour without you expecting it is really cool. Trust me, like I'm not sure if you've like had that pleasure of watching a straight hour match that you don't know is going to be an hour, because when I saw that the Okada Omega, it was pretty cool.
But I don't know, man. I think you've known me long enough. Like, I have a problem with attention span stuff, and like an hour is just difficult for me.
You and me both. However, these matches are so good that it flies by.
What'd you say? Oh, well, sorry, I got distracted.
The matches are so good that it flies by.
Sorry, that was just an attention joke. I'm really excited about that. All right, so with my terrible joke, we're going to link into New Japan Dash. So it's basically their Raw after WrestleMania. And as much as I was angry about Naito losing, like legit, like super angry.
Oh, right. I guess we should talk about that.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, it was, like, in the moment, it was kind of like, oh, man. Like, really, Okada, like, didn't win. And knowing the history of this, like, Naito winning the G1 and them taking it away from him, and now him winning it again and him losing, it's kind of like, yeah, it helps build up Naito. But, you know, as we're about to get into, I wonder if there was some type of scenario presented to him. Hey, after this, you have the opportunity to work with Jericho, and you've seen like the amount of attention he brings. But if you have the title, we're probably not going to do that because he doesn't earn a title shot, right? So maybe that was a situation like, hey, you want to win the title, or you want to face Jericho and then win the title? So maybe that was the thing.
Man, that's kind of crazy. Yeah, so at Dash we have, I'm not even going to, because I was so angry with Naito, and I was so angry about, I wasn't so angry, but I was not pleased about Jay White. And then, man, what a difference a day, night makes. I mean, wow.
Right, lesson for everyone, like just be patient, like see what the follow-up is always, you know.
Yeah,
because yes, something might may feel off in the moment, but they may really make up for it the next night or in the future.
Yeah, and I think they did just that the next night. So I'm not going to go over the results. A lot of them are just kind of you either had like a bunch of six mans and stuff like that, but so, at one point, Kota Ibushi is being attacked by Cody and the Bucks, I believe, correct?
No, the rest of the Bullet Club, not the Bucks.
All right, the rest of the Bullet Club. And just as Cody's about to hit Ibushi again, Omega runs out and stops him.
As he was about to, like, hit him with the chair.
Yeah.
Like, after he's, like, beaten, yeah.
So, what is...
Well, if you're unfamiliar with Omega and Ibushi, they have a very long history that includes teams and feuds and all that goodness. So they have a very long, interesting history. They're boys, they're whatever. So, you know, it's Kenny coming out to protect his friend. Yeah, he may not be in the Bullet Club, but there's no reason to do that. So I understand that. I liked that angle. It was really well done. Cody telling him, like, you know, you haven't been the leader in a long time. Omega telling him, I am still the leader. That whole thing, clearly, that's about to blow up. But to go directly from that into like, hey, I know what is going to unite everyone, Jay White. Like, wait, no, that's that's not true. That was a poor choice of words there. But I also enjoyed that angle. You knew he wasn't taking the shirt. But when he first said his name, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Then he even said what I said when I first saw Jay White again. He's a Kenny Omega clone. So, you know, that was funny to me. But, yeah, I mean, I like Jay White going after Omega. That'll be fun and, you know, interesting because whatever happens there, you're getting Omega and Cody in the near future, and that's going to be great.
Is Omega out of the Bullet Club? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, I guess. I wonder, like, it would be strange to see Omega without the Bucks, but, like, I wonder if that's something to freshen up Omega over the next year or so. Or, I don't know.
Or does the Elite break away?
Right. Do the Bucks leave with him? I can easily see that, because they don't really need the Bullet Club. Like, the Elite is fine. I don't know.
You know, I think they don't need them at all. So, they could just... I think the Elite could break away. And look, for me, especially with WWE doing their revival of the Bullet Club, I think it would be a smart move for the Bucks to make themselves the Elite and kind of break away from that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Marty can stay with them, especially in Ring of Honor. And then maybe that, first of all, I mean, it could happen at their show, but you could have Cody, you know, I've been talking about Cody versus Omega being the big draw for Supercard of Honor.
Well, right, maybe it'll just be on their show.
But it could be on their show. So, I mean, or it could be at the next what do they call it, the G2 special? I don't know.
The
G1 special that they ran last year. Maybe they'll run it again this year in the United States and have them there. So
that was who knows.
And if that wasn't enough, then you have Chris Jericho attacking Naito. I mean, wow. So Jericho is just going to stick around New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. You know, this was something that wasn't out of the question, as we talked about. He really seemed to be having a lot of fun out there, and, you know, that's all it takes sometimes. He's really enjoying himself, and, you know, that's a nice change of pace. He's wrestling a completely different style, all new guys who are the top guys there. He's in a co-main event of WrestleMania, you know, which he stated on his podcast, like, he wouldn't be in the main event of WrestleMania if he came back. So, like, he's a bigger star in New Japan than he would be in WWE.
You're right. I mean, he's being used in a completely different manner, and I think it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So I was definitely more into this, well, the direction they were going in after seeing Dash, and also way more into New Japan as a whole after this year.
Yeah, agree.
So, nice job, New Japan. You guys earned my watching. And watch I will, because at the end of this month, probably to your dismay, or maybe this is the crossroads of our liking New Japan. New Japan is going to be partnering with CMLL for Fantastica Mania. And the last three shows will be up on New Japan World at the end of the month. And I think it actually turns out to be like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing, maybe. So I'm fairly certain I could probably see both, or at least two of the three shows before work on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's anything new.
No, it's not.
It's
new to me.
Because you're actually watching CMLL and New Japan. So that's always just kind of whatever to me. Doesn't really make a difference for anything in New Japan.
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't, but, you know, it's exciting for me to be able to say, hey, look, Jeff, it's CMLL, and gotta pay attention. Speaking, I guess this is a good enough transition here. So, due to some unforeseen circumstances, you ended up having to watch the CMLL New Year's Eve show that we didn't get to talk about. Unfortunately,
yeah, I don't know that there is anything to.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. All I'm going to say is that unfortunately, like literally, the rest of the card was awful. But what the headline of the card was Sam Adonis versus Negro Casas in a hair versus hair match. And I, boy, was I shocked that the 57-year-old Mexican legend won here. Just,
I guess, like, that's something you like should be. It's weird Mexico stuff.
Well, a lot of people, I was doing just kind of reading up and stuff, you know. A lot of people felt the same way I did, that it would have made more sense for Casas has lost his hair apparently 11 times. All right, so it's like not his,
right, it wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah, his hair is not super valuable, right? But if he's doing, if Adonis, you know, were to cut it, win that match, and then had already cut Blue Panther's hair, if he keeps doing Blue this Panther. Kind of legend thing, you know, he could eventually lose to a younger guy. Apparently, CMLL doesn't book like that.
Well, maybe he will lose to a younger guy eventually.
Well, crazy thing is Adonis, 6'4", 250, busted out a 450 splash. Unfortunately, he apparently broke Casas' ribs during the move. And, you know, I kind of went back and watched it, knowing that his ribs were broken during that spot. Man, and he took a superplex. He took, like, a Mikinoshu driver. I mean, he took a 57-year-old dude with broken ribs, was taking all these crazy moves instead of just going for the end of the match. So that was pretty crazy overall. But it's... Now it's nuts to hear that after that win, he's not going to be around. So, you know, they haven't really gone back to their normal schedule. As we're taping, they're normally starting their show for Friday night, but they will not be streaming it because tomorrow is the, as you guys are listening, it'll actually be the day of the Three Kings show. So that'll be on tomorrow night and streaming. So I'm looking forward to see how they move forward. And also because a lot of the guys are going to be leaving for Fantastic Mania, so kind of what they work on while that's happening.
Sure.
In a bit of ROH news, did you get a chance to see the new titles?
Yeah, I did. And you know, the only thing, I liked the belts. The only thing that I disliked was, like, the world title looked so special, and now it kind of just looks like all the other ones. It's a lot like TNA kind of did when they redo their belts all the time. Like, they make them a little bit similar, and it's kind of frustrating.
It was a little weird for me. I mean, the six-man titles are just barely a year old, you know, to announce new ones. But, I mean, it's almost like they wanted to get the matching set. I'm not, you know, listen, when I think of a title, sometimes I think if you name me a championship, I see a certain title in my head. So I'm not really the biggest. I mean, I think the six-man titles look better than the other ones because the other ones had this weird dip in it that seemed like some sort of odd codpiece that I didn't really find too comfortable. So that's one thing. But other than that, I think they look, you know, they look pretty good. And I guess, you know, it'll be interesting to see if it means that somebody else is going to win them soon as a, you know, like, oh, I had the new title type thing. Or if they're just going to be presented. Like, the women's title, obviously, is going to be one in the tournament. The TV title, though, I don't know if Silas comes out with a new one. They have the taping on the 20th of this month, which is a couple of things. So Silas Young tweeted out, actually, that he has not re-signed with the company yet. He's a free agent. So you hope that they come to terms before that show. It's a little odd to see. And he actually made a comment that he was down in Orlando and he didn't have anything to do. So I think he's trolling a little bit there. They did re-sign Beer City Bruiser, so he's going to be taking fewer indie dates. So it'll be weird if he's there and Silas isn't. So I think they're going to lock him down. I think he just might be having a little fun with Twitter over there. the one thing that's interesting about the tapings is they already announced Punishment's going to get his title shot that he earned at Survival of the Fittest against Dalton during the TV tapings. Which I think just kind of is a little odd, because that means that you're not getting... We'll see how TV plays out from now till then. But it just seems like you would think the title shot would be on a bigger show if you wanted to make anyone believe that there's a chance of a change.
Yeah, I agree.
Not that there really is, but I mean, he earns the shot, which is a big deal, and then he's just going to, like, not... He's going to lose on TV, you know? I don't know. But they still have the build to work on, so I think we still have something like that to kind of look forward to, at least.
Yeah.
And then WWE had shows this week, right? Do they still do that weekly?
Nah, I don't think so.
I mean, the only thing that really came out of the tag match between the Usos and Gable and Shelton Benjamin. I legitimately was angry Alpha 2 won, but then, you know, it was like a dusty finish and it went back and the Usos ended up taking the titles. Or retaining the titles. I thought that was... Like, I actually reacted, texted you, like, I was angry, hopping mad, that the Usos would have lost the titles so randomly on SmackDown like that. So... kudos to WWE for getting me pissed off. You know, they usually just get me pissed off because they're on for too long or something like that, or they do something stupid. But I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, that was excellent. Because I was in the same boat as you, just kind of like, wait, what? Really? That just happened, and then I had the chance to see it out and see what they did. So it was well done. I enjoyed it, and I'm glad to see the Usos are still a champ.
And Becky came back this week on SmackDown as well. She? Yeah, yeah. No, she's back.
Yeah, didn't see.
Yeah, no. Her, Charlotte and Naomi have kind of teamed up to face off against Riot Squad. Well, you know, they're doing a lot with the women's division, building to the Royal Rumble match. So I think that's a good thing. At least they're giving us reason to care, even if you don't particularly care.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you had Owens beat AJ, so now there's going to be a handicap match at Royal Rumble for the title?
Yeah, that was kind of crazy that Daniel Bryan made that. Well, AJ said it might as well be, so he did the right thing there. But, you know, it's a little strange what they're doing with Daniel Bryan and Shane and this whole story, but I'm enjoying it. So I'm enjoying this really entire story arc, and I'm intrigued to see where they're going with it.
And, you know, I'm telling you that in an interview with Sports Illustrated, Daniel Bryan said that if he doesn't wrestle at WrestleMania 34, then he doesn't think he's going to wrestle for WWE ever again. I don't think he was kind of like saying it as a threat. It was just like he felt if it doesn't happen by then I don't see myself wrestling for them.
Right, if it hasn't happened by now, I don't think he's ever going to wrestle again for them. So,
well, they could be holding it off till Mania.
Nah, but like to not clear him and to not do anything, you know, it's every time from everything you hear is that he keeps trying and they keep just saying, no, we're not comfortable, we don't feel like doing that. So I don't think that's something we're going to see happen.
Fair enough. Anything I left out from this week that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us. As always, very happy new year to all of you. While you got a little extra time this year, why don't you guys make a resolution? You're going to listen to more of our back episodes. You can check those out over on iTunes or SoundCloud. We've got tons of interviews with Ring of Honor talent and current NXT stars as well. So definitely go through, peruse those titles, and give a listen. Tell us what you think. Give us some feedback. Make sure you guys rate, review, and subscribe. That really helps us out. We really appreciate the support, as always. And just want to remind you that you've listened to the podcast that is just... too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.